at Gwinnett Church for the past couple weeks. We've been talking about legacy. And what does it look like to pass on values and beliefs and character and integrity and things which matter most? How do we pass those things on to those that are coming next, right? And so we've been in this series called Legacy, where we've been talking about what lives on beyond us and how do we pass on a legacy worth sharing. And in order to guide our conversation, we've been looking at Paul's second letter to a young man named Timothy. And when I say Paul, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, who is one of the most famous and influential Christians of all time. He was a Christian hater, persecutor turned missionary and martyr. He was wrote much of what we would call the New Testament of your Bibles. One of the things that he wrote was a letter to a young man named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, it's Paul's, what many believe, his last letter. It's certainly the last one that we have access to. And this last letter, Paul recognizes that his time is short, and so he does not waste words, and he talks about the things that he hopes will show up in Timothy's life. And really the theme of 2 Timothy is legacy. It's what he hopes to pass on and what he hopes Timothy will pick up. And so we've been using 2 Timothy as our guide to talk about how do we leave a legacy worth leaving. Because the truth is, what we've said in this series, the truth is that everybody leaves a legacy. Whether you have thought about it or not, whether you've planned to or not, whether you even like that idea or not, we all leave a legacy. We all are gonna pass some things on or dump some things on those that are coming next. We all leave some things for those that are coming behind us. We all pass some things on, some impressions that are made, some values that we leave, some memories that are shared, some stories that get told, an impact that lives on when we're gone. And so we all leave a legacy. And if that's true, then what we've said in the series is that, man, if we're all gonna leave a legacy, don't you want it to be a good one? Don't you want it to be something that's worthwhile? Don't you want to pass on something positive, something healthier, something better than even what was handed to you? Even if what was handed to you was pretty good, we all want to leave things a little bit better. And so throughout this series, as we've been reading 2 Timothy together, we've been trying to learn what we can from Paul's relationship with Timothy about how we can leave a legacy that's worthwhile and we can pass on something that's positive. And so just a quick recap to catch you up to speed. If you're just joining us, welcome. Week one, what we talked about in the series is we talked about the legacy that you've received. Because the truth is, none of us got here on our own. We were all handed some things. And for some of us, it was good things. For some of us, it was not so good things. For some of us, it was complicated. And for most of us in the room, it's some combination of all of that. And the reality is, we need to think about and we need to deal with what was handed to us. Because what we said is, those things that got handed to us, they've shaped us. And they have a way of oftentimes getting passed on through us. And we said that what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're passing on the good things, but we put an end to the bad things so that those don't pass on through to us. And so we contemplated what was it that you were handed? And we said that the good news of the gospel is that because of God's grace and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can choose to leave better and healthier than what was handed to us. That the legacy we received does not have to be the legacy that we leave, that you may not have been handed what you would consider a positive legacy, but that doesn't mean that a positive legacy can't come through you. And so we looked at that week one, we looked at what we've been handed and what we've received. And then last week in week two, we talked about the legacy that we're living right now, because we said that for all of us, what somebody says tomorrow, the legacy that we leave tomorrow and what they say about us one day is actually being shaped by the decisions that we make today, right? That we are currently right now in real time becoming the person that people will remember. And so we looked at five decisions that we can make, five choices we can make right now to ensure that we leave a better legacy tomorrow. And then today we're gonna talk about what does it look like to actually pass the baton. We're gonna take a look at as what does it look like to to pass the baton. And when I say the baton, specifically Paul's gonna be talking about the baton of faith. What does it look like to pass on faith to those that come after us? But listen, if you wouldn't call yourself a person of faith this morning, this message is still gonna be applicable to you, because regardless of what you believe, here's what I know to be true about all of us is we all have something we'd like to pass on, yes? We all have something, whether it's a character, whether it's our morals, whether it's ethics, whether it's how we treat ourselves and treat others. We all have something that we'd like to pass on. And what we're gonna learn from Paul this morning is how do we pass on what matters most to those who come next? And so today we're gonna be talking about what does it look like to pass the baton? What does it look like to ensure that we pass this on well to those that come after? Because you guys, the reality is, you may have heard this said before. You guys have probably heard the phrase that life is not a sprint, it's a... Okay, a couple of you. You can say it with your chest. Come on now. Life is not a sprint, it's a... Yeah, it's a marathon. Yeah, yeah. You guys are better. 9:15, there was like three people, and then everybody else was like, I've not heard this phrase. Tell me, you know. So you've heard this phrase before, right? Life's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I get why we say that, you know what I mean? It's to encourage endurance, it's to encourage grace, it's to encourage people getting back up when they've been knocked down. It's like, hey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, keep going, get up, like you got this. And so we use that phrase, but here's the reality is that the more I've thought about it and the longer I've lived, what I've realized is that it's not a sprint or a marathon. Life is neither of those, it's a relay. Life, you guys, life is a relay. Oh, there we go. Life is a relay. Just like in a relay, you're handed something from those that have run before you. Just like in a relay, we are currently right now running our leg. And we don't know how many laps that we're gonna get, but we're running ours right now. And then one day, all of us are going to pass the baton to somebody else. And we're gonna pass some things on to somebody else. And just like a relay, you guys, success is not gonna just be based on how well we run our leg. Success is gonna be based on how well we pass on what matters most to those that come next. You see, you guys, if life is a relay, then listen, success, my friend Brad Cooper likes to say, is succession. If life is a relay, then success is succession. You can run an amazing leg of your race and achieve and accomplish and all of that stuff. But if we fail to pass on what matters most to those that are coming next, then we lose. We lose. We, the church, we, society, we, our community, we lose when we fail to pass on what matters most to those that are coming next, right? If life is a relay, then success is succession, and we've got to get that right or else we all lose. It doesn't matter how fast or how great you run, if you fail to pass it off, we lose. And if you don't believe me, just ask the U.S. men's 4x100 team. Some of you laugh because you know, and some of you, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but listen, if you're not an Olympics nerd, I'll update you on that right now. So the U.S. men's Olympic 4x100 team is made up of four of the fastest men in the whole world. And every time they step onto the track, these guys are they're the favorites to win. Every year since this other guy named Bolt quit running, these guys have been the favorites, right? They're the favorites to win gold or to at least make it on the podium. They're expected to finish in the top. And yet, you guys, this is what's incredible. For the past 20 years, they have been on a medalist drought. 20 years, the U.S. men's 4x100 team has failed to even place on the podium. I'm not talking about gone without gold, because I know in America, we're like, if you ain't first, you're last, you know what I mean? So like, it's like silver medal, like, you know, like, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, these guys have not even made it on the podium, no medals at all. And it's mind-blowing to me. How is it that four of the fastest men in the world can't place in a race. I'll tell you how. In 2008, they're running and they drop the baton in the handoff in the exchange zone. In 2012, they had some off the track issues, little PEDs, and so they were not gonna be able to receive a medal, and so they got disqualified. Then in 2016, again in the exchange zone, they failed to get the handoff right. And then in 2021 in Tokyo, they have another failure in the exchange zone where they end up getting disqualified and unable to run in the final. And then in 2024 in Paris in the Olympics, they end up dropping the baton again, getting disqualified, not able to run in the final. That's how four of the fastest men in the world can fail to medal year after year after year. It's not that they're not fast. They are. It's not that they can't run their leg of the race. They can. The reason why they fail is because they haven't been able to pass the baton. And in 2011, they hired a coach to try to, you know, work on their exchanges and stuff like that. And they still haven't seemed to get it right. And I say all that to say, look, if we don't get this right, the exchange, if we don't get that right, passing the baton, then it doesn't matter how good of a race you ran. If we fail to pass on what matters most to those coming next, we fail and we lose and we're the worst for it. Yes? So today, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about how do we pass the baton well? How do we navigate what relay runners call the exchange zone of life, right? The exchange zone is that 20 meters, 1.9 seconds, where the baton is passed from one runner to the next. And we're all gonna have our own exchange zones in life or in different seasons of life where we're passing things on to people that are coming next. How do we handle those moments well? How do we ensure that we pass on what matters most to those that are coming next? That's what we're gonna look at as we close out our series today and as we finish 2 Timothy. And so in chapter 4, Paul is gonna show us a little bit of what a good exchange looks like. And we're gonna take some observations from his life and his relationship with Timothy to see how we can do the same. And so this is what Paul says. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7. And you had to. I feel the need, like I needed to just call it out so that none of you came up and said it to me later. So that's where we're at. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what Paul says. He says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul's writing and he sees the end is near. He talks about this idea of him being poured out like a drink offering. In Jewish custom, there was a practice of pouring out libations as like an offering to God. And Paul's talking about literally, hey, my life is that. And I'm pouring my life out for the sake of your faith, Timothy. That's what he's really talking about. He's like, literally, my life is the offering and I'm pouring it out. It's being poured out for your faith. And so it's definitely legacy language right here. And then he's talking about the end of his race and he says, I fought the good fight, the right fight. I didn't die on every hill. Everything wasn't a battle, but I fought the good fight, the fight of faith. I fought to endure. I held on to the things that I believed. My character remains intact. My integrity remains intact. My reputation remains intact. He's like, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. And I'll be honest, for a long time, until recently, when I read that verse, I would read that verse, and the picture that would come to mind was like Paul running across the finish line with his hands up, you know what I mean? And the tape is breaking, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. You know what I mean? Like that's the image that it's evoking for me. He's crossing the finish line. The tape's breaking. His hands are in the air. He's like, yes, you know? And that's what I've often thought of as I read these verses. And yet, you guys, now I see it's something different is going on here. that Paul is not crossing a finish line, he's passing a baton. He's not running with his hands in the air like, thank goodness it's over. He is entering the exchange zone and he's coming to the end of his race with his hand out, holding it out for Timothy to grab on. He's not finishing the race with his hands in the air. He's finishing his leg of the race with his hand stretched out, hoping to pass something on. He's not crossing a finish line. He's passing a baton. And you can see it, you guys, in the language that he uses earlier. And I can't believe I've missed this before, but you can see this passing the baton language earlier before these verses right here. And this is what Paul says. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, he says, I give you this charge. I'm giving you these instructions. He says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. He says, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and with careful instruction. He's saying, hey, here's some things I want you to do, Timothy. And he keeps going. He says, but keep your head in all situations. He says, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist and discharge the duties of your ministry. Like do what a pastor is supposed to do. And Paul gives these instructions to Timothy, and the instructions reveal to us what's really happening in this verse. And they remind us that Paul's not crossing a finish line. He's passing a baton, because everything that he says right there to Timothy, he's going, Timothy, hey, preach the word, do the work of an evangelist, endure hardships, like do all the things that a pastor's meant to do. Everything that Paul lists out that he wants Timothy to do is everything that he was just doing before he got put in jail. And so he's literally going, hey, Timothy, all that stuff you saw me do, I want you to do. It's your turn now. It's your time now. All those things that you've seen in me, all those things that you heard from me, now it's your turn to take the baton. So when he says, I've finished the race, he's not crossing a finish line. He's entering the exchange zone. And he's going, all right, Timothy, my leg's over. It's your turn. It's your lap to run. And so it is a passing of the baton. What's amazing is that Timothy is gonna take this baton, you guys, and what we know from church history, you're not gonna hear anything else about Timothy after the letter of 2 Timothy in the Bible. And so, but what we know from church history is that Timothy takes that baton and he stays in Ephesus, which is where he was pastoring at the time that Paul writes him this letter. He's gonna take that baton, he stays in Ephesus, he does all those things that Paul instructed and modeled for him. He takes it, he runs well, he follows the example of Paul, he's a great pastor in Ephesus. As a matter of fact, he follows Paul so well that like his mentor, he's eventually martyred for his faith. That's how like they were. And then though, after being martyred for his faith, similar to Paul as well, he actually passed the baton well, because the church of Ephesus, it actually lives on even after he's gone. And it continues on with other faithful people. And so one passes to the next, and we see what we see in Paul and Timothy, and what we see at the end of 2 Timothy, what we see is a great, you guys, exchange. It's a great exchange. So the question is for us this morning is, how do we have great exchanges? When it comes to the exchange zones of our life, how do we follow that example? How do we hand things off well? How do we pass on what matters most to those that are coming next? Well, there's three things that I wanna show you this morning from the life of Paul. It's not gonna be from any one specific verse. This is from the life of Paul and from observing his relationship with Timothy throughout the scriptures. I wanna show you three things this morning that I think Paul models for us with Timothy that we ought to do if we wanna make sure that we have a great exchange. If we want to make sure that we pass on what matters most to those that are coming next. And so, three things that we're going to need if we're going to pass on legacy, if we're going to pass the baton well to those that are coming next. First is this right here, intentionality. The first thing that we see in Paul and Timothy's relationship is just this level of intentionality. You don't leave a legacy worth leaving without intentionality. Great legacies are built through intentionality. You know, we see it in Paul and Timothy, specifically in the fact that, I don't know if you've thought about this, but Paul picked Timothy. He handpicked him. When he showed up in Lystra and he meets his mom and his grandma, he sees this young man whose dad is not active in his upbringing. And Paul says, I see something in you, young man. Would you like to travel with me? And he calls Timothy to his side. He pours his life into him. And it's intentional. He's incredibly intentional. And he invests in him and he invites him and he pours his life into Timothy with intentionality. And if we're going to leave a legacy worth leaving, and if we're gonna pass the baton well in our lives, if we're gonna hand off the things that matter most to us and ultimately to God, if we're gonna hand off those things that matter most to those that are coming next, it's going to require a level of intentionality. And when I say intentionality, I mean that intentionality answers three questions, you guys. The first, to be intentional means we have to identify, who am I passing the baton to? You might say it like this, who's my Timothy? Who's your Timothy? If we're gonna be intentional, we have to identify who it is that we're passing the baton to, right? For some of you, the person that you're passing the baton to, the person who's your Timothy is somebody right at home, right? It's your kid or your kids, and that's who your Timothy is, and that's who you're investing in, and that's who God has put in your lane to pass some things on to. For some of you, though, it's not necessarily at home. For some of you, it might be in the workplace, and you've got some younger employees that are coming in, and they're trying to learn the ropes, and God has put them in your lane in order to invest in and to show them not just how to do the job, but how to handle stress, how to deal with difficulties, how to deal with conflict, how to carry out the culture of the workplace and to teach them good work ethics and maybe things outside of work where you mentor them and you pour into them and God has put them in your lane. Maybe it's for you, it's somebody at work. Maybe for you, it's somebody at church. For some of you, the person that God's bringing into your lane to pass some things on to, it's not your kids, but it's somebody else's kids, and they're here, and they're over in Wombaland right now. They were just on the stage. They're in Upstreet, or they're in Transit, or they're at Inside Out, and they're in one of the family ministry environments, and God has put them in your lane to invest in and to pass some things off to. Some values, some belief, some character. And for some of you, it's that. For some of you, it's some other people at church. For some of you, it's some people in this church, you guys, that are in a season that you've already walked through. And God has put them in your lane to be able to invest in. For some of you, it's a young couple at the church. And they're just starting off their marriage together. And you guys, you and your spouse have a couple of decades. And God has put you in position to be able to hand some things off well to them. Maybe it's a young couple. Maybe it's somebody that's walking through grief. And what they're walking through, you've already had to walk through, and you've been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you've been able to see things through to the other side, and you've got something that you could offer them, and God is bringing them into your lane for you to pour into. For some of you, maybe it's somebody that's facing divorce, walking through divorce. For some of you, it's maybe somebody that's new to faith. They're just exploring faith, and you've been walking with Jesus for a number of years, and you could pour into them and help answer some of their questions and point them in the right direction, at least be a safe place for them to ask their questions. I don't know what it is, but for some of you, your Timothy might be right here in this church. For some of you, it might be somebody in the community, and you're a coach. You're coaching your kids, and there's another kid on the team, and you just notice they don't have a lot of positive influences in their life, and God has brought them into your lane so that you could pass some things on. Who's your Timothy? If we're gonna be intentional and we're gonna pass the baton well, and we're gonna hand off what matters most to those that are coming next, we need to identify who's in our lane, who has God brought into our life that needs what he has put in our hand. Who's that? So intentionality answers the question of who am I passing the baton onto. It also answers the question of this. If we're gonna be intentional, we should identify what do I hope to pass on? As I mentioned, Paul's very clear. He wants to pass on faith, right? He's like, I'm trying to pass on my faith, the teaching of Jesus, the gospel that Jesus has lived, died, and resurrected so that we could be forgiven and have relationship with God, and the life that is lived in light of that gospel. He's like, I want to pass that stuff on. That's what he's trying to pass on. And for each of us today, though, we should be mindful and we should be intentional about identifying the things that matter most that we want to pass on. What are those things? For some of you, it might be faith like Paul, but for others of you, like I said, it might be character, it might be discipline, it might be some good habits, it might be some ethics, it might be a worldview, whatever it is, we need to identify those things, or else what we're gonna do, if we're not intentional about identifying what we hope to pass on, then what we pass on just ends up being whatever was by default. And you guys know, if you just leave legacy by default, you'll hand off some good things and you'll hand off some bad things. And then the people that you hand it to have to do counseling to unpack all that. You know what I mean? But we can do better than that. We can be intentional. We can identify the things that we really want to pass on and what matters most. And so with a little bit of intentionality, we can do better than legacy by default. So intentionality says, who's my Timothy? Who do I hope to pour into? What do I hope to pass on? And then intentionality says, how am I gonna pass it on? What's the plan? How am I gonna go about it? Teaching, instruction, mentoring, modeling. How am I gonna go about it? What's my plan for passing these things on? I should have a plan. Paul had a plan for Timothy. He says, you're gonna come with me. You're gonna watch what I do. And then I'm gonna put some pressure on you and you're gonna do the things that I do. And I'm gonna watch and I'm gonna coach you up along the way. He had a plan. We should have a plan as well. Legacy requires intentionality. So that's the first thing. Second thing that we're gonna need, if we're gonna pass the baton well to those that are coming next, we need practice. Nobody in a relay shows up and thinks, oh, we'll just figure it out. Except maybe the U.S. men, you know what I mean? Like, but I know there's gonna be a U.S. men's track runner that said Gwinnett one day, and he's gonna be like, "Hey, man, thanks. I'm gonna practice." They practice, right? And in the same way, when it comes to leaving a legacy, right, it requires practice. It requires intentionality, but it also requires practice. And when I talk about practice, right, it's interesting. Paul will say, you see that he did this with Timothy. He'll say, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard that good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul's going, hey, remember that stuff we talked about? Remember that stuff you heard me talk about? Remember that stuff you had a front row seat to seeing me practice? He'll also say this, you, however, you know all about my teaching and my way of life and my purpose. You know about the faith and the patience and the love and the endurance and the persecutions and the sufferings and what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. And why does Paul assume that Timothy knows all about his life and all about those things and all about the stuff that Paul believed and the stuff that he practiced? Because he practiced it in front of Timothy. He practiced it in front of Timothy. And so if we're gonna leave a legacy and we're gonna pass the baton well, right, it requires intentionality, but it also requires practice. And there's two kinds of practice that we've gotta have. One is personal practice. This is what we practice in front of others. These are our habits, our disciplines. These are our behaviors. These are our actions. These are our attitudes. These are our reactions. Right? These are the things that we live out in front of others. You guys have heard the saying, right? Like, do as I say and not as I do. Some of you said that this morning, right? I just want to tell you something. Legacy doesn't work like that. Legacy doesn't work like that. They will live out what they saw you live out. Yes? They will do what they saw you do. And so we got to practice the things that we hope to pass on. We have to practice the things that we hope to pass on, and it starts personally. We've got to practice them. But it's not just that we practice them in front of them and hope that they catch it. We also have to have shared practice. Shared practice is where we come alongside and we do these things together. And the stuff that we're hoping to pass on, we practice them with the people that we're hoping to pass them on to. And we have conversation and we model it and we go, hey, I'm gonna do this and then I want you to do this and I'm gonna coach you up along the way, right? Like that's shared practice. I was thinking about for me in my life, something I've been trying to incorporate in light of legacy, something that I've been trying to incorporate in my life is these practices that are a mixture of personal and shared. And one of the things that I've done recently is that I moved my morning devotional time. I have a morning devotional time. I pray, I read the Bible. It's not super, super long. I don't like levitate or anything. It's not super spiritual. Like it's just, I mean, I read the Bible and I pray. Like that's what I do each morning. And I do it for, you know, 15 to 30 minutes each morning. And I used to do it before the kids got up. And because I would tell myself, hey, if I don't do this before the kids get up, it's never gonna happen. You know what I mean? Or if it does happen, I'm gonna be super distracted and they're gonna be like, make me a waffle. And I'm gonna be like, I'm trying to be with the Lord, you know? Like, and so I'm like, all right. Like, so I would say, I need to do it before the kids get up. Well, lately that has shifted for me, you guys, to now, be, in light of all this talk about legacy and wanting to pass things on well, I've moved my morning devotion time to the breakfast table. And so when my kids are getting up in the morning, specifically my two boys, they get on the bus earlier because they're in elementary school, because that makes sense. And so they get up super, super early. And so we're sitting down and I will do my morning devotion time. I make my coffee. I make all three of us breakfast. And I will read my Bible while they're getting ready and they're getting their snacks and they're getting their water. And I read my Bible and I pray. And the reason why I've done that, you guys, is not because it's convenient. And it's not because it's comfortable. And it's not because it's quiet. It's not. The reason why I do that is because I'm trying to pass something on. And my hope is that what my kids see is that dad takes his faith seriously. He actually lives this stuff out. He doesn't just stand on stages and tell other people how to live their lives. He's trying to live it out at home. What I hope my kids are catching, you guys, what I hope is being passed to them is that they see that faith was important, that it was a priority for me. What I hope that happens for them in these morning times is I hope one day when they've got a breakfast table of their own, I hope they look at the chairs and they go, I remember when dad would read his Bible there and pray and we'd talk about it. And they ask me some mornings, you know, what are you reading? Recently, it was Zephaniah. They said, what's that about? I said, I don't know. We talk about faith and it's become an incredible part of our morning routines. You gotta practice what you wanna pass, yeah? You gotta practice what you wanna pass. Last thing, and then we'll close, proximity. If you're gonna hand off well, it requires proximity. You cannot pass from a distance. You won't pass anything well from a distance. You will not pass the baton from a distance. If you've ever watched a relay, you're not allowed to throw it. You gotta be close. You gotta be close enough to match their pace. Sometimes it requires you to slow down a little bit. You gotta be close enough to put it in their hand. You gotta be close enough to hand it off. And you guys, the same thing is true for us. Same thing was true for Paul and Timothy. The reason why Paul was able to have such a great exchange is he didn't just write Timothy letters. They did life together. As a matter of fact, Timothy's mentioned in 11 of Paul's letters, and he's mentioned as a co-author in 6, which means that as he wrote letters, Timothy was there. He was with him. They were spending time together. They were doing life up close and personal. I wonder this morning, who needs you to up your proximity? Distance creates drops. Somebody in your life needs what's in your hands, and God has put them in your lane, and they need you to get close. Who needs some upped proximity in your life in order to ensure a great exchange? Intentionality, practice, proximity. This is how we pass on what matters most to those that are coming next. I'm gonna close with this story, you guys. And it's an illustration of what happens when we get this right, or what can happen if we were to get this right. In the 1800s, there was a Sunday school teacher, and his name was Edward Kimball. You've never heard of him? I hadn't either until recently. And the reason why we've never heard of him is he wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't anybody famous. He was a Sunday school teacher in a small church. And he taught a handful of teenage boys, and he committed himself to be intentional, to be present, and to practice his faith in front of them and with them. And one of those boys happened to work at a shoe store, and he had missed church a few weeks. And so one afternoon, Kimball felt God nudging him to go and check in on the young man. And so he walked across town, he went to the shop, asked for the boy. The boy was back in the stock room where he was stocking shoes, and they began to talk about life, talk about faith. And there in the back of that shoe store, he shared the gospel with him, and that boy put his faith in Jesus. The name of that boy was D.L. Moody. Now, if you're familiar with Christian circles and in any kind of church history, you'll know that D.L. Moody was an evangelist, a preacher, a pastor, and he reached thousands of people in his time. But it doesn't stop there. D.L. Moody goes on to influence another man named F.B. Meyer, who goes on to influence another man named J. Wilbur Chapman, who then goes on to mentor a young baseball player turned preacher, a man by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday goes on to hold Bible studies, and at one of those Bible studies, he preaches to a man named Mordecai Ham, who then goes on to hold revival nights. And one night in North Carolina, there was a teenage boy by the name of Billy Graham there who gave his life to Jesus. Now, Billy Graham, if you're not familiar with Billy Graham, Billy is one of the most famous and influential pastors and preachers of our generation. He's impacted millions. Some of you in here today, you have faith because of a Billy Graham crusade. Some of you in here, your parents received faith because Billy Graham and his preaching, he's impacted millions. Millions of lives changed because a regular guy walked across town to reach a teenage boy. That's a good exchange. That's legacy. A series of clean exchanges, and that's what intentionality and practice and proximity can result in, you guys. And you have no idea what God might do through the baton you choose to pass. You could be shaping and influencing the next Billy Graham, or you could just be helping shape somebody's future spouse, somebody's future parent, somebody's future roommate, somebody's future coach, somebody's future coworker, or somebody's future boss. Life is a relay. Every relay has an exchange. It's brief, it's quiet. Most of the crowd doesn't even notice, but it's where the race is won and lost, you guys. So if life is a relay and success is succession, then let's make sure we handle our exchange zones well, with intentionality, with practice, with proximity. Let's pass the baton of what matters most to those that are coming next. Let's run our race well, certainly, but let's make sure that we hand it off so that those that come next run even better. Amen? May pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you care. You care not just about us, but you care about those that come after us. You're a generational God. Thank you that that you've given us the example of Paul and Timothy, a model to follow about how we can run our race well, but also hand things off and leave a legacy that's worth sharing. And so God, I just pray that you would help us. Help us today to be intentional. Help us to practice the things that we hope to pass on, both in our own lives and with those that we want to pass it on to. And then help us, God, to draw near to those that need what you've put in our hands. There's somebody that's looking up to us. There's somebody that's looking to us. There's somebody who needs us. There's somebody who needs what you've put in our hands, and you've placed them in our lane. Give us eyes to see it. Give us courage to step in. And God, I pray that you would help us to pass on what matters most to those that are coming next. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me, it sounded like mumbling. she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. She's been talking to Jesus for all of her life. Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt, boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh. I've got three of my own now. I'm trying to raise them up. My oldest is 15. I remember what that was like. Trying to deal with the drama, trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show them how to make it all right. And then he walked in my room while I was saying my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later. Tell you got a lot on your mind. I said it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time. Cause I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. And we started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. Whoa. And now he's talking to Jesus. Thank God he's talking to Jesus. I hope he's talking to Jesus for the rest of his life. And what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend.
Tell him what's on your heart. Cause it's not a religion. It's more like a friendship. So just talk to your father like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus.